Baseball Tonight, the podcast.
This is the Baseball Tonight podcast for Tuesday, June 16th, 2020. Producing from his home studio in the foothills of Connecticut is Taylor Schwenk. I'm Buster Olney, working from my home studio in New York. Well, last week, a player agent said to me, with astonishment, they're actually going to burn it all down. And when he mentioned the word they, he's referring to everybody who's in charge. And the answer seems to be, yep, that's exactly what's happening. This summer in which baseball's had an incredible opportunity to own the sporting stage for themselves in early July, an incredible opportunity to rebrand as it came back. That is all squandered. And based on what we saw last night, it's like now a five-alarm fire. Rob Manfred was the leadoff hitter for what happened in baseball's labor relations last night. He spoke with Mike Greenberg in a SportsCenter special, and he made news. Give a listen.
The commissioner of Major League Baseball is Rob Manfred. Good enough to join us tonight. Rob, thank you very much for taking this time. And I'll start here. You told Carl Ravitch here on ESPN last week that you felt 100% certain that there will be a season this year. How do you feel today?
Well, I know the owners are 100% committed to getting baseball back on the field. Unfortunately, I can't tell you that I'm 100% certain that's going to happen. We had a couple of developments over the weekend that were really negative in terms of our efforts. The first was the Players Association's decision to end good faith negotiations. I understand that the players were frustrated by the lack of progress on the monetary issue, but this is about a lot more than money. We need an agreement with the MLBPA on health and safety protocols in order to put the game back on the field safely. And even more important, we need a commitment from the players that they can abide by those health protocols. And given the course of the virus and what's going on right now around the country, those health protocols are absolutely crucial. And we're only going to get there with dialogue that the union's apparently not prepared to have right now. Equally important, I had been hopeful that once we got to common ground on the idea that we were going to pay the players full prorated salary, that we would get some cooperation in terms of proceeding under the agreement that we negotiated with the MLBPA on March 26th. Unfortunately, over the weekend, while Tony Clark was declaring his desire to get back to work, the union's top lawyer was out telling reporters, players, and eventually getting back to owners that as soon as we issued a schedule, as they requested, they intended to file a grievance claiming they were entitled to an additional $1 billion. Obviously, that sort of bad faith tactic makes it extremely difficult to move forward in these circumstances. The only thing I can tell you is that the owners are committed to trying to find a way through this and getting the game back on the field.
So what is the next move? What do you do now?
Well, we're going to try to open a line of communication with the MLBPA. We'll be communicating with them in writing today about some of the things that need to be done in order to cooperatively get back on the field. And we're hopeful that we'll get a more positive response to that overture.
What is the last time that you had conversations with Tony Clark or that the two sides actually talked?
A week ago Sunday was the last time we talked in person. There's been written communication since then, but that was the last time we talked in person.
So let me make sure that I'm fully understanding what you're telling me about what the lawyer is suggesting. You're telling me, and I'm not going to put words in your mouth, that Tony Clark said, just tell us where and when to show up and play and we'll do so, but that it is not your belief that that is their intention.
That's correct. I mean, he's been very open with members of the press. We've had players repeated to us that the intention is to get us to issue a schedule and immediately begin litigation based on the issuance of that schedule.
And so what has been the response of the owners you've talked to since that?
The clubs are interested in one thing. The clubs are interested in finding a way back on the field, and it remains their strong preference to get back on the field with an agreement or at least the cooperation of the players.
Rob, what are your concerns for the optics of this circumstance playing out as publicly as they are during the time in this country where all the other things, the confluence of events involving the pandemic and protests in the streets and everything else, of this playing out as publicly as it is?
It's just a disaster for our game. Absolutely no question about it. It shouldn't be happening. And it's important that we find a way to get past it and get the game back on the field for the benefit of our fans.
What do you think is the best way to do that? I know that negotiation through the media has generally not worked, but I haven't seen anything lately that has. So let's see. What do you think can happen from here that will be constructive, that will work towards getting the game back on the field?
Look, I think that the best opportunity to make an agreement is always to get into a room face to face, discuss the issues and try to find a cooperative path forward.
I feel like the clock is ticking, right? Because you have a firm end date. It's been made clear the owners want this to wrap up, a World Series to be completed by the end of October. So how soon, how close are we getting to a place where we're going to run out of time?
We are running out of time. The clock is ticking on this. But the key, the important first step is a willingness on the part of the MLBPA to get back at the table and engage in the process.
So if you were 100% last week and you feel less certain, what percentage do we feel now?
You know, Mike, I do learn as I go along. Given how long my 100% prediction lasted, I'm not going to handicap it again, but it's something less than 100, that's for sure.
Would you describe your feelings as confident that there will still be a season?
I'm not confident, Mike. I think there's real risk, and as long as there's no dialogue, that real risk is going to continue.
Thank you very much for spending the time with us tonight. Stay safe, and thank you again.
Thanks, Mike.
After that interview ran, Executive Director Tony Clark, Players Association, issued a statement on Monday in response to Manfred's comments that read, "Players are disgusted that after Rob Manfred unequivocally told players and fans that there would be 100% a 2020 season, he decided to go back on his word and is now threatening to cancel the entire season. This latest threat is just one more indication that Major League Baseball has been negotiating in bad faith since the beginning. This has always been about extracting additional pay cuts from players, and this is just another day and another bad faith tactic in their ongoing campaign." Max Scherzer, who's part of baseball's executive committee, of course, respected veteran among the players, tweeted out last night, "Rob Manfred and the owners are walking back on their word again. The fans do not deserve this, so I'll say it one more time. Tell us when and where." Trevor Bauer tweeted out, "So Rob, explain to us how you can be 100% sure that there's going to be baseball, but not confident there will be baseball at the same time. What changed between those statements? Players told you to set the season, but it's too early to set the season right now." Marcus Stroman, the pitcher, of course, for the New York Mets, jokingly offered his pitching coach services to colleges yesterday because a lot of people now are beginning to wonder if we're going to see any baseball in 2020. Yes, it's possible we're going to see the nuclear option. Nobody loves baseball more than Tim Kirkjian, which is why we need to hear from him today, and we will in a moment. But before that, we need to mention our friends at Marathon Oil. Now more than ever, we have to look out for each other and count on each other. Marathon wants you to know that you can count on them for the high-quality, top-tier gas. Marathon gasolines are formulated with STP additives. They keep your vehicle running at peak performance by optimizing fuel economy, removing those ugly deposit buildups, and by reducing emissions. And right now, you can get 5 cents off every gallon every day with Make It Count rewards from Marathon. Plus, you can earn points for additional savings on fuel, airfare, hotels, and more. This is definitely a deal you can count on. It's quick and easy to join. Just download the free Make It Count app or go to makeitcount.com/radio and start saving today. This offer is valid only at participating Marathon stations. Remember, wherever you need to go, be safe. The people at Marathon are behind you all the way.
Seamheads rejoice.
Nerd alert!
It's Timmy time.
Is this a great game or what?
With Tim Kirkjian on Baseball Tonight.
Tim Kirkjian covers baseball for ESPN. And Tim, before we dive into what Rob Manfred said and the responses of some of the players and everything that happened last night, I wanted to get this from you because I suspect you're having the same experience that I am. I want to ask you what you're hearing from rank and file people around the game. You know, players who are not stars, are not part of the union leadership, managers, coaches, assistant general managers. What sort of things are you hearing from folks like that?
Well, they're all disgusted, the people that I talk to. I spoke to someone yesterday who is in uniform, went to spring training 8 days ago, and he cannot believe we're not in spring training. Everyone now. That's where I think most of the guys are. I got three calls, Buster, on Sunday morning. I didn't call anyone. I got three calls from former players saying, basically, what are we doing here? Not just we, the players, we as an industry. And they all just cannot understand how we are at this point in the middle of this. I've heard disaster. I've heard the word pitiful more than once, describing the whole process. And it's discouraging, to say the least. There's so much anger and distrust out there, and so much more needs to be done now if we're going to move forward.
One of the, you know, the narratives that you hear is that this is a battle between billionaires and millionaires. And I've tried to explain to friends, like, no, it's a lot more complicated than that. That, you know, the rank and file of people within the sport are looking at this the way that fans are. They cannot believe that we're in this moment.
Yeah, and I sense now, Buster, and help me here, that the players are now emboldened on this. They are unified on this. I think the owners felt like we clobbered them in the last CBA. We're in charge of this. We can get whatever we want now because the union isn't what it used to be. And when they came out with the original proposal after the March agreement and said, all right, you guys are going to take another pay cut, I think that was a really bad idea. And you said it at the time. All it did was anger the players, get Scott Boras involved. And since then, I have sensed that the players have pulled together. So if the union actually thought they were going to break the union or even divide it, it's possible now the opposite has happened. And now the players, right or wrong, are standing on principle, 100% prorated. I don't think they're moving off of it. And I had someone tell me yesterday that Tony Clark's statement, just tell us when to show up and we'll play, is the best thing that Tony Clark has ever done as the union leader. I found that interesting.
What'd you make of what Rob Manfred said last night, essentially reversing course from less than a week ago in saying, you know, he's not 100% sure there's going to be a season?
Well, I don't want to say stunned, but I was certainly surprised because Buster, as you know, he didn't just say I'm 100% certain a few days ago. He's been saying it for a month and a half to at least people he knows really well. And then to come out and say, not only am I not 100% certain, I'm not confident that we're going to play at all. Now, maybe Trevor Bauer's right. Maybe he's just bluffing. Maybe this is a ploy. Maybe this is just something to say. Maybe this is posturing to get everyone back at the table. But I saw a weakened commissioner last night. I don't think we're used to seeing that from him, but I think he realizes right now the game is in worse trouble. And for the commissioner of baseball to call his game a disaster right now, which of course it is, but for him to say it, I think that was very telling.
All right. I've been trying to sit here, as I always like to do, and play the chess of this and try to envision scenarios of how this could play out, you know, based on conversations that I've had with the agents, with the management officials, with players. And this is what I got, okay? First off, you know, the one potential for how this could play out is Tony Clark has suggested Rob Manfred could implement. He could lay down and say, we're going to play 54 games. The problem with that, Tim, is if that happens, then what the expectation is on the management side is that the players could file a grievance. And I just don't think, Tim, that this could have any chance of working out unless there's collaboration and cooperation. They have to agree on something in order for this to play out smoothly. If they don't agree on a system, I think it's going to turn into an absolute circus. Another theoretical scenario would be at this point, with the distrust on both sides so high, possibly you could think about switching out the lead brokers. In other words, Rob Manfred is benched, Tony Clark and Bruce Meyer are benched on the other side. You bring in some new personalities who have credibility. I just think that scenario would take way too long to play out, like months. And right now, this needs to be resolved if there's going to be baseball in 2020 in days and hours. Third possible scenario, the owners, as you say, recognize how coalesced the players are, how united the players are. And the owners say, okay, full pay, 75 games, let's go. I just don't see that happening because of the incrementalism that's developed on baseball management side, where they're just going to say, okay, we're going to give away more money than what we perceive the value is. And I don't see a leader, Tim, on the owner's side who could basically shake the other owners and say, are you people out of your mind? Like, we have to play. And we're the side that has the greater access to wealth. We get the bigger pile of chips. We need to be the bigger people in this scenario and make sure baseball plays. I don't think that's their mindset. We've seen that with all the furloughs and all the firings, the Athletics, Nationals initially moving to shave the salaries of minor leaguers. So I can't envision that happening. And I fear that the most likely scenario, and this is the fourth one, is that the owners now are going to dig in, Tim, and we're going to have a three-year war that's going to extend into free agency this fall, all these labor issues just merely being deferred to spring of 2021, the CBA talks, and at some point on the owner's side, the mentality begins to step up. You know what? We were losing money already. We can't deal with the people on the other side. We don't trust Tony Clark. We don't trust Bruce Meyer. We're just going to dig in and wait for collapse on the other side, and maybe that's how we get the financial model that we want to get to. And here's the thing. I think that both sides are severely underestimating the anger of fans and the damage done to the product as they build nothing, as they grow nothing together. Give me your thoughts on those four scenarios.
Well, first off, Buster, the anger is greater than I've ever seen it. And I repeat, I covered the 81 strike, not to mention 94 and 95. This is worse given the argument taking place while all of this is going on in our country with protests, unemployment, and a pandemic. And baseball comes across as so unbelievably petty here that I hear this every day from people in the game and out of the game. What are we doing here? I think you're right, Buster. I think we need somebody to come in and save the day. But I don't know who that guy is. We're going to have to bring that guy up to speed in order to solve this. But the only way out of this, Buster, the only way for me out of this is for two sides to come to an agreement and actually willingly play more than 48 games. The 48-game implementation is going to be the worst-case scenario other than no baseball at all. A bunch of angry players who feel like the owners are taking advantage of them, a bunch of petty owners that are saying, we're not budging here, and you are right. If we do that, it will lead to enormous trouble in the offseason with free agency. Even more trouble for next season as we play a lame duck season, essentially, waiting for the CBA to expire, and then, God forbid, a work stoppage in 2022. That's the 3 years you're talking about, and nobody wants any part of that. And the way to avoid it is to actually get together and come to an agreement. And I just don't see at the moment that happening.
How do you feel about the fact that they're not even talking, Tim? Like, the two sides are in a place where they're not even talking. I talked to an agent yesterday who was just perplexed by this approach, and he goes, why wouldn't you talk? Do you lose nothing by talking?
I am astonished. In all these years we've covered labor, Buster, we have heard about all-night meetings where something is done at 3 o'clock in the morning because everyone recognized how important this is. This is crisis management 101 right now, Buster. This is not a CBA negotiation to settle scores and improve our bargaining position for 2022. This is getting something done now. It is unconscionable to me how they cannot be meeting around the clock. And this is where the commissioner is going to have to step in and say, look, I don't care. Put your masks on. We're all getting together in the same room and we're not leaving until we come up with something.
Tim, I don't know long term how the two leaders, the leaders on each side, survive long term. And I don't mean a change would happen tomorrow. I don't mean a change would happen next week. But again, if you play it out, there's no question that Rob, who came into his job basically talking about how he wanted to build a connection with the players. He wanted to meet with the players. He wanted to develop a bond with the players. That has demonstrably not happened. You know, we imagine that in the NBA, if Adam Silver has a problem, if there's some issue with the players, he's probably calling LeBron James. I don't know that for a fact, but I'm guessing that probably happens. I can't imagine that happening for Rob. And when you see the tweets last night after Rob went on television and said what he said, they are, and I don't mean this as a criticism of the players. I'm just making an observation. They're demeaning. They're belittling. There's no respect for Rob right now. And the fact is that he's an employee of the owners. You know, they give him a salary. They give him the private jet that he flies in. He is beholden to them. But there needs to be that kind of connection, I feel like, if you're going to move forward. And if, in fact, the owners dig in a 3-year labor war, at some point on the player side, there are going to be questions about how did we get to this moment where, not only have our salaries year over year continue to go down, but we're not even talking to the other side, Tim.
Yeah, well, Buster, I had a former player tell me on Sunday morning, he was angry. He said, the commissioner needs to get on an airplane now, fly to Mike Trout's house and talk to him and say, all right, what do we have to do? Now, maybe Mike Trout's not going to help. Maybe LeBron has much more power in his sport than Mike Trout does in his sport. But somebody has to get in the same room and go through this. And Rob has to do it. If no one else is capable of doing it, no one else has the power to do it, then the commissioner has to do it. And I'll be real interested to see how he reacts after the beating that he took last night and will take until this thing is settled in a really good way, which, again, is highly doubtful at this point.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, if scale of 1 to 10, how confident are you that there's going to be baseball in 2020?
Well, 4 days ago, I wasn't at 100%, but I was pretty high. And now I'm much lower than that. And for the commissioner to say he's not confident, then I'm not confident either. I don't think he was posturing. I think he's deeply concerned that the union is going to stand firm. And I think he's deeply concerned there are owners out there, Buster, who don't want to play this year. They're better off not playing. And they really still believe we're going to take a beating this year, but we're going to divide the union. We're going to get what we want. And the only way to do that is to not play this year, when I maintain, like every other clear thinking person in the world, the only way out of this is for games to be played, is to watch the game being played after reaching an agreement. And we're not close to that right now.
Unbelievable. Tim, thanks for talking.
All right, Buster, I'll talk to you later.
All right, that was pessimistic Tim Kirchin talking about the labor situation. We need to hear the Tim Kirchin who loves baseball, and you'll hear it in his Baseball Minute as he talks about great baseball names.
On this date in 1995, Ian Hamilton was born. 2018, he pitched in the same bullpen as Ryan Burr. Hamilton Burr. Years earlier, David Bush and Brandon Leeb pitched in the same bullpen, Bush Leeb. Baseball so readily supplies these connective names, especially with starting pitchers. Over the last 40 years, we've had Mason Dixon, Minor Leak, Ray Romano, Diamond Sale, Cole Miner, and Nova Kane, although we always wondered why Chad Moeller didn't catch that game. Last year, Will Smith faced Will Smith, and Elvis Andrews faced Elvis Luciano. That at-bat ended in a single. Elvis had 117 singles. Barry Bonds' home run victims included Abbott and Castillo, Dustin and Hoffman, Murphy and Brown, Green and Beret. But we will never understand why in 2013 Cubs manager Dale Swaim decided to give Darwin Barney the day off instead of facing the Dodgers' Stephen Fife, preventing the first Barney-Fife matchup in Major League history.
Bleacher Tweets.
All righty, Buster. Bleacher Tweets for Tuesday. Got a lot of them last night, obviously, given the state of the game here. But real quick, we just listened to Greeny's interview with MLB Commissioner Rob Manfred. This interview was part of a SportsCenter special covering sports return in the wake of the coronavirus pandemic and social unrest sweeping the country. Greeny welcomed several commissioners and athletes to discuss the many challenges they face in returning to their respective sports, as well as the platforms provided for their leagues to make real change happen. You can listen to that whole special in the Get Up podcast feed. Just search Get Up in whichever application you use to listen to podcasts. It's a good special. Obviously, we had the most breaking newsy portion of that special, and the tweets rolled in. I'm going to read off. I'll just go one by one here. They're all kind of the same. Maybe I'll try and highlight the portions that are a little bit different. First one up, Miller JJDJ writes in all honesty, at what point should Rob Manfred start worrying about his job if he isn't already worrying? What scenario would cost him his job, missing the season, forcing a non-agreed upon super short season, or something else?
Yeah, as I talked about last week, I feel like whenever the current situation is resolved, then on both sides, they need to take stock, do an internal audit, an internal assessment of how we got to this point. I mentioned to Tim that Rob right now has no credibility with the players. That is a difficult situation. He does have a lot of respect among owners, but I'm guessing on both sides they begin to ask questions as we go through the wintertime.
Sanzier writes in, do you think Manfred was actually putting pressure on the owners tonight? He always chooses his words carefully and has so much vast experience in labor negotiations to botch something like this. I think he was sending the owners a message. What do you think about that theory?
Yeah, I think that if you look at Rob's history, he is a deal maker, but now he is an employee of the owners. I feel like that he, when he goes out and talks, he's essentially like a White House spokesperson. I think that's what we have to think of. He's not someone who's going to say, okay, owners, this is what you're going to do. That's not how it happens. I bet you that he recognizes the things that would need to be done to get a deal done, but he's taking directions from the people he works for.
PK Steinberg writes in, I mean, I guess this is more your opinion than anything. Does Major League Baseball need a new commissioner at this point?
I think they have to talk about it. You know, as they say, the owners absolutely they appreciate Rob. They've made a lot of money with Rob as commissioner. I think it'd be very difficult for them to remove him, but they have to ask themselves the question, can he be effective if he's viewed with scorn by the players? I think it, you know, we just have to wait and see how this plays out before I can give you a hard answer on that.
Fair enough. Ernesto Cedillo at ERNYC377 writes in, does the union have any legs to have a legal strike under the guise that the owners did not negotiate in good faith? The Major League Baseball Players Association made multiple offers and were countered with different versions of the same offer from ownership.
Yeah, and I can tell you the owners feel the same way. And the expectation is that if Rob were to implement a shortened season, 54, 58 games, that there would be a grievance that would result. I think that's kind of what Tony Clark's doing, you know, saying, just tell us when and where we're going to play, almost baiting Rob into implementing the season so they can file a grievance. That would be a protracted legal fight. It would really solve nothing. That is another nightmare scenario, because it really, all it would do is defer these larger labor questions until next spring. And baseball needs a solution before then.
We love nightmare scenarios on the Baseball Tonight podcast. Last one up, Jacob Habel writes in, any suggestions for someone falling out of love with baseball? Jacob, the Premier League, back tomorrow. Buster, any suggestions from you, sir?
Lawn care. I mean, I'm telling you, I'm falling in love with lawn care. And the other thing, too, that's happened during this time, I've never really cooked that much. I'm like Now I've got my kids saying, hey, Dad, can you make breakfast? Can you do the burgers the way that you did them last weekend? Ooh. Like, I've developed some skills here, which I might need if this continues.
Very cool. Proud of you, Buster. Thanks for writing in, everyone. Hashtag Bleacher Tweets. Keep them coming. Obviously, we're going to be talking about this for a couple days here.
That's it for today. My thanks to Tim and to Taylor. Have a great day, everybody. Thanks for listening. And remember, hate and inequality based on race is something we must fight every day.
Thanks for listening to the Baseball Tonight podcast. If you're playing fantasy baseball, don't forget to listen to the Fantasy Focus podcast. Check out all podcasts at ESPN.com/podcenter. Baseball Tonight, the podcast.